talk to a friend. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Thank you, precious Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give him praise. Give him praise for being so awesome. Last night we all slept like dead men. It's a miracle that we woke up this morning and we are here. We don't know the mechanism by which we sleep and wake up. There are too many reasons for giving God thanks. So just go ahead and bless his name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we prayed and we worship. Angels bow down in adoration. We join our hands as we lift our voice. We cry, holy, what is the Lamb? The angels bow down in adoration. We join our hands as we lift our voice. We cry, holy, what is the Lamb? The angels bow down in adoration. We join our hands as we lift our voice. We cry, what is the Lamb? The angels bow down in adoration. We join our hands as we lift our voice. Father, we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, we give you all the majesty. We love you, Lord. We exalt your holy name. Thank you for the privilege of standing before your holy presence. We don't take for granted, Lord. Be thou glorified forever. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. This morning, we are going to look at some very basic and essential things you must understand to maximize your walk with the Lord. By the way, tonight or this evening, we are going to be having a healing service. And it will be an explosive one, I assure you. We will just do a little bit of Bible studies to prepare your heart for the evening. And then to teach you how to make the most of spiritual realities. As we sow out tonight by the mercies of God. So I want to show you a few things that will help your walk with God. It's the dynamics of information trafficking in the spirit. The dynamics of information trafficking in the spirit. You know, we took the first two sessions to deal with matters of consecration, because you can never amount to anything in God unless your life is consecrated to God. The greatest sacrifice of living is the sacrifice of consecration. The sacrifice of consecration is superior to the sacrifice of prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is included in consecration, but consecration is the total devotion of your life to the Lord. And that is the only way to live in this realm. Because like I made us understand from the beginning, this realm is littered with many entities with different purposes, different intentions, and different possibilities. In the Garden of Eden, there were only two entities that were granted the legal right of operation. It was God and man. So at that point, Adam could afford to be careless. Because apart from himself and his wife, only God invaded the garden and interacted with them. So fellowship was fluid. Fellowship was flawless. Because man had an unchecked access in his relationship with God. God could just stumble into the garden at any time. The Bible said, in the cool of the morning, in the cool of the day, the Spirit, the voice of God came walking in the garden. So if Adam heard anything apart from Eve, he knew it was God. He had a clear-cut relationship with God. The realm was sealed from the invasion and the interaction of other entities in the realm. It was sealed. But upon the fall, the seal upon the earth was broken. So God was not only the entity that could interact with man and exert his authority. Demons also had access to man. Angels also had access to man. Principalities and powers also had access to man. Rulers of the darkness of this world also had access to man, and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. So the only way man's security on earth could be guaranteed was by the protocol of consecration. If man wanted to stay intact and secure in fulfilling his purpose in the world, then he had to devote his life perpetually to God. In the garden, whether he liked it or not, his life was collected unto the Lord, because God was the only one that had access. But right now, the realm is open. There are many spirits that could interact with him. So he had to make the effort through spiritual intelligence to consecrate himself to the Lord. And that was why we looked at the subject of priesthood. Because it's in priesthood that we are given the wisdom required to completely consecrate ourselves to the Lord. You saw why we were explaining and opening scriptures yesterday, how that priesthood will first of all walk God into your heart and secure you from within, so that you can become a man of the presence. I showed you yesterday how that the end of priesthood is to come into the Holy of Holies, where you have direct contact with the presence of God. And from there, you can now legislate and litigate the purpose of God on the earth realm. So priesthood is that ark that carries us in consecration to God. And now that you have understood what it means to consecrate your life, and most of you have consecrated your life to the Lord, you need to understand the systems in the kingdom for trafficking information. Because if you don't know and master how these things work, your life and your walk with God will be frustrated. There are lots of things you'll be asking God to do that are already done. You will not just know how to traffic it, and then you will labor in vain. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 15, he said, the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because they know not how to enter the city. So the problem is not whether the city is available. The problem is not whether one could enter the city. The problem was a problem of wisdom and understanding. The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because they know not how. The moment you know the house of the kingdom and you are willing to apply yourself, then everything that you desire will be at your beck and call. When you see people struggle in life, it's a function of a lack of understanding. I want to show you this morning how informations are trafficked in the system, in the realm. And you need to understand that every possibility in this realm is predicated upon the revelation that you have. If you get the revelation of a reality, you literally walk into it. The realm is so complex that it does not lend itself to a man who cannot access it. If you want to walk in the healing of healing anointing, for example, all you need is to lay hold on the revelation. If you want to walk in the supernatural, all you need to do is to lay hold on the revelation. Revelations are the most prized commodities in the realm. And revelations don't lend themselves to carnal men. The Bible said, we have not received the spirit that is of the world, but the spirit that is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us. And he said, the things of God, they are foolishness to the natural mind. And he said, they cannot have it because they are spiritually discerned. So before you lay hold on the revelation, it will first of all transform you. That is why revelations are very complex commodities. A lot cannot have it. But because you have consecrated yourself and you have decided to yield to the Lord, it has become your natural heritage to walk in revelation. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible said something. He said, to them that are without, these things are hid. He said, but for you that is in the kingdom, you have access to it. So this morning, I want to show somebody something that will deliver him or her from struggles in the kingdom. Hallelujah. It's going to be a very short exposition, so that we have enough time for our evening service. Spiritual information trafficking. I'm going to touch four basic entities and how they relate, how they transact, and how they communicate in this kingdom. I'm going to talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to talk about the angelic realm, and I'm going to talk about the demonic realm, and then I'll talk about man. These are four entities: God, the angelic, the demonic, and man. Because you are on earth and the earth realm is open, you cannot but interact with God. You cannot but interact with the angelic. You cannot but interact with the demonic. It's a must, whether you like it or not. You know, sometimes you think, because you don't know it, it doesn't affect you. You are joking. You may not be a scientist, so you may not understand the laws of universal gravitation. But it doesn't mean you are not influenced by gravity. If you are not influenced by gravity, you will float and you will go into space. So whether you know it or not, it doesn't matter. You may not understand the laws of electricity, but you use it every day. So your ignorance does not exonerate you from the effect of these operations. But your understanding will give you an advantage on how to wield it in your direction. So this morning, we are going to look at these factors very quickly, and then we will shut down and prepare for the evening. Yes, informations originate from the Father. Every reality has its root in the Father. The word Father, for example, is the word fundus. And fundus simply means foundation. Fundus also means the source. Fundus means the sustainer. Fundus also means the nourisher. So when we speak about God as Father, we are talking about the source and the origin of all things. So everything originates from the Father. You see that when the world was created, the Bible said, in the beginning, Elohim. He didn't bother introducing the Elohim. Who will you introduce him to? Who was there? He was the only one there. So for one, you can't introduce him. Who are you introducing him to? Because there was nothing. He was the only one who existed all by himself. So the Bible said, in the beginning, Elohim. So it reveals God as the source and the origin of all things. And the word Elohim means almighty. There are two dimensions to that word. Almighty, it means having all the power and the authority. All the power. You know, eventually you are going to see that there are different powers at different levels and with different entities. But at this point, it reveals Elohim as the source of all power. And that was why it was the Elohim that demonstrated the highest feat of power in creation. It is because he sustains all power. That was why he was the one that created the world in the first place. So it's a revelation of him having the ability to bring every other thing out of himself. So God is revealed in scriptures as the source. It also means plurality in oneness. But we don't have time to explain that for now. Alright? Because that's not where we are going to. It is in Elohim that the foundation of the doctrine of the Trinity is found. Are we together now? Because the Elohim speaks of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And in that scripture, you see all of that. The Bible said, the Spirit of God hovered upon the waters. And God said, the word went forth. The Spirit hovered on the water. The Father spoke the word. So the Elohim is the revelation of the plurality in oneness. Are we together? The Elohim reveals that there are three persons in one. And the Elohim also reveals that that three persons in one sustains all the authority. And in that authority, everything was created. So the Father is the source of all things. That was why in the beginning, you had to begin with the Father. So every form of information, every form of power, every form of revelation comes from the Father. And then somebody is asking, why is there evil? The power is not what is evil. It is the usage and the personality in which the power is with that is evil. For example, if I give you a gun, if a criminal is carrying a gun, you know it's a dangerous weapon. But if a soldier is carrying a gun, it becomes a protective tool. Do you see that? So the Father created all things, but it was not the Father that perverted all things. And as we go further into the demonic, you look at all of that. The Father is the source of all things. Your life is a projection of the Father. That should give somebody confidence. That means you are not a mere mortal. You are not an ordinary person. You emanate from the Father. You are an offspring of God. You proceed from the Father. So yourself is also a projection of the source called the Father. The Bible said in John chapter 1 verse 12, he said, as many as believe, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. And even before that time, it also made us to understand that all things were made by him, the Father. If you understand that everything proceeds from the Father, then it will alter your orientation in life. When I teach, I try to make it a bit practical, because sometimes you hear these things and they just add to your data bank of information and it will not profit you. If you know the Father is the source of all things, when you have a need, the first person that will come to mind is who? The Father. Not your uncle who is a governor. If you know the Father is the source, you know the proof that you know a thing is your application of it. Most of us say, God the Father is our source. But when we have a need, he's the last that comes to mind. It's when every alternative fails, we now come to God. And the unfortunate thing is that at that point, we are already in the state of anxiety. So even while you are asking, your mind is still hoping whether somebody will call. That your uncle you talked to yesterday, maybe a call may come in. You are looking. You don't juggle your life around like that. Set your gaze on God perpetually. Yes, men may help you, but men are only channels. Men are not your source. God is your source. Everything proceeds from the Father. He created all things. All things came out of him. Hallelujah. The Son is the administrator of everything the Father produces. The Son is also the substance of reality, the word of the Lord. If the Father produces life, the form in which we have that life is by the Son. If the Father produces power, the form in which we have that power is by the Son. So the Son is the one that incarnates the possibilities that proceed from the Father. So without the Son, you cannot interact with the Father. So if you want to feel the love of God, for example, Jesus is the one you will touch. It's just like this microphone. You know, this microphone is a complex connection of wires with electric current. If you touch it, you will die. This microphone that I'm handling, the reason I'm able to handle this microphone is because of the covering. So the covering is what makes the power in this microphone user friendly. Your handset is a complex operation, combination of circuitries, circuit systems. The reason you can use your handset is because it is packaged in a user friendly format. You can't touch your handset because it will be a complex wires connected in very complex circuits. The reason you can touch it is because it is packaged. This bulb you are seeing, this is current. This thing you are seeing is electric current. The reason you are seeing the light is because of the packaging. If you touch it without the covering, it will electrocute you, you will die. So the basis of our interaction with the Father is the Son. The Son is the one that makes the Father communicable. So when God wants to touch you, it's the Son you touch. When God wants to relate with you, it's the Son you relate with. So every time you relate with the Son, you are relating directly with the Father. The Son is the substance of reality. The Son is the one that makes the Father communicable and interactable. The Bible says God dwells in the midst of unapproachable light. So you cannot come before the Lord. You can never touch God. You can never come close to God. If you come close to Him, you are consumed. He said He dwells in the midst of the coals of fire. The only reason by which you can touch the fullness of God is because the Son can communicate. He is the full package of the Father. So Colossians 2 verse 9 said, it pleases the Father that the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in Him bodily. So any dimension of the Father you want to touch, it is captured in the Son. So when we relate with Jesus, we are relating with the Father. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 1, from verse 1 to 4. Let me read, so that somebody will read the Bible. It's like we've not been reading the Bible. We've not been reading the Bible. 1 John chapter 1. Let me show you this. Sometimes, if you put the word of God in your spirit, it's more effective. When it comes out like bullets. The ones that will flow out of you will be the remalized utterances. The Holy Ghost will be shooting them. I've gotten so used to meditating on the word of God, and most times it becomes a challenge too. But let's make it a Bible study this morning. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father. You see something? Eternal life is actually a projection from the Father. He said that life was with the Father. That means for the Father's life to be communicated, it will now show you the means by which eternal life was communicated. Eternal life is the reality of the Father. It is the life of the Father. But the means by which eternal life is communicated is what He wants to show you. He said that life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. He said that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with who? The Father. But how do we have fellowship with the Father? He said it is with His Son, Jesus Christ. So the eternal life, which is the life of the Father, the only means by which you can interact with Him is to apprehend the Son. That's why He said whoever has the Son had life. He said for this life is in the Son. And He also said the Son is eternal life. So eternal life, which was first of all the reality of the Father, is now communicable to mere mortals through a package called the Son. So the Son is the substance of reality. Everything the Father is made up of can be communicated by the Son. It's just like a virus. If a virus wants to be communicated, the host does not need to come and live in you. All he needs to do is to transfer the virus to you. If a mosquito wants you to become, wants to give you malaria, the mosquito doesn't need to come and live in you. All it needs to do is to transmit it into your body. If a bacteria wants to affect you, it just transmits it. After a while, what makes that mosquito, the organic life of that mosquito, is transmitted into you, and suddenly you start falling sick because you have made contact with malaria. The substance of reality is the Son. So without the existence of the Son, you may never know who the Father is. The Son is the substance of reality. The Son is the proof of the existence of the Father. Without the Son, there is no proof that God exists. You can never prove the existence of God without the Son. It's a system in God for trafficking information. It's that our fellowship is with the Father, but we have never seen the Father. We have never made contact with the Father. The one we made contact with is the Son. But every time you touch the Son, you touch the Father. Philip came to Jesus and asked him, he said, show us the Father that we may know him. And he said, you mean you've been with me and you've not known the Father? He said, whoever have seen me have seen the Father. So if you want to see the Father, look at the Son. Hope you know you've never seen yourself. Are you aware you've never seen yourself? I have seen you, but you have never seen yourself before. If you want to see yourself, look at the mirror. The mirror is the proof of your... You know, when you go out, the confidence you have, you think you are beautiful. It's the information the mirror gave you. You're actually walking based on the information of the mirror. It's what the mirror told you your face looked like that you now know. And then you are forming an acting big game. Your confidence is built by the mirror. You have never seen yourself. <It's> not. The Son is the means to the Father. That's why I say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. So if you want to have a relationship with the Father, you must have a relationship with the Son. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 1, he said, in the beginning was the word. The scriptures, see. He said, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the Father by the Son. He said, has spoken unto us in this last day by his Son. And I now begin to tell you the criteria of the Son. He said, who being the brightness of his glory. The word glory is the word doxa. Glory simply means the full expression of a reality. The word translated glory is from the word statue. Do you see a statue? If it's standing under the sun, it remains the way it is. Under the rain, it remains the way it is. Set it on fire, it remains the way it is. It is the full, complete, unaltered expression of a substance or of a reality. So he said the sun is the brightest expression of the fullness of the Father. So the Father, who is the source of all things, is communicated by the sun. And that is why when you receive eternal life, which is the life of the Father, you only receive the Son. When you receive the Son, you have eternal life. It's a system in God. And then you have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. You remember I told you the Son is the substance, right? The substance of reality. The Son is the administrator of all the purposes of the Father, right? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, these are not three persons, actually. Or better still, these are three persons in one. Are we together? So they are, it's the same, I'm trying to use the English is deficient in this matter. You see, when you're talking about God, English language is a challenge. It's a challenge. That's why most times Jesus had to use metaphors, you know, to communicate these things. It's a body to use English language. Languages like Greek and Hebrew, they are a bit deeper, you know, to explain some of these things. But English is a body. But God will help us. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, right? He's the third person of the Godhead. But I want to explain the Holy Ghost to you in terms of information trafficking. The Holy Spirit is the experience of God. The experience of God. Whatever the Son is to you, the means by which you can enjoy it, feel it, and experience it is by the Holy Spirit. That's why, let me give you an example. When you gave your heart to Christ, you received the power of God. But many persons cannot walk in the power of God. Because what will make it an experience is the Holy Spirit. All of us receive healing when we got saved. But many of us are sick. So the question is not whether you are healed or not. If you ask God, he will say you are all the Christians in the world are healed. But if you come on earth, over 70 are sick. The difference between that substance within you and the experience of that substance is a bridge called the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is what brings you into the experience of the substance of God that you have in your spirit. Without the Holy Ghost, the experience of that which God is in you by the Son can never find expression. So, healing is in you in the sight of God, but for you to walk in healing, you must have a relationship with the Holy Ghost. That's why a lot of people talk so much about God, but they cannot demonstrate it. The demonstration of God is the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that networks God into you. You will have the fullness of God in your spirit, but you can never experience His reality. You have all the power of God, you will never experience His reality unless you cooperate with the Holy Spirit. He is the one that walks God into your experience. He is the experience of God. So the Father is the fullness of all things. The Son is the substance of the Father's reality, the essence of the Father. And the Holy Spirit is the experience of the Father. Let me use a scripture to explain what I've been saying. Matthew chapter 16, from verse 16 to 18. You see what happened in a very short episode. Jesus said, "Who do men say I am?" And the apostles began to bring the suggestions of the scholars of their days. You know, in the days of Jesus, you can't just stand up now the way we stand up now on Facebook and you say the power of God is only available to a man who fasts and pray. And then people begin to share. You can't talk like that in those days. Those days, you only communicate what has been debated and accepted from a school of knowledge. You know, when John stood up in the wilderness and began to baptize, the Pharisees came to him. He said, "By what authority are you doing what you are doing?" It's just like this university systems. You can't just wake up one day and say, people should come to school, you want to start awarding degree. You don't have the stature. Until NUC accredits the university and gives you the authority to do that. You can't just stand up and say, I know how to treat them. No. You can't build a hospital. You must be accredited. So, the schools of thought of those days, headed by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, were the ones that give validation to knowledge. So, anything that is not validated by them will not be regarded in a public setting as a body of truth. So, when Jesus said, "Who do men say I am?" the disciples were telling Jesus all of the conclusions of the bodies of knowledge that existed in that time. And they say, some say you are Jeremiah's. That means they sat down, they studied his life, the way he spoke, the things he did. They now say, no, this is the spirit of Jeremiah. And then they use scriptures to prove that Jesus was Jeremiah. He said, some say you are John the Baptist. Because they wonders, they saw the guy to me. They said, no, because John came back from the dead, he came with supernatural powers. So it was a conclusion of the school of thought. And some say, well, we cannot of necessity or certainty say he is any of the prophets, but we know he must be one of the prophets. And when all of them spoke, they were all wrong. So when you deal with spiritual business, your mind is limited. Spiritual truths and realities don't operate at the economy of reason. No matter how you gather the facts and brainstorm, you'll be wrong, even if there are 100 of you. A whole generation got it wrong. You know, nowadays you say, it's these people that said it. And they had a conference of bishops. It's from the conference of bishops that they concluded that this thing is true. A whole generation can be wrong. And you will see why that is possible. You will see why intellectualism and cerebrality cannot pass the test of spirituality. Because without the impute of the Holy Spirit, everything you do ends in futility. The whole body of knowledge that were available for a generation were wrong. And a man just spoke. by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And one sentence was more efficacious than the conclusion of theologians and doctors of the law in the whole generation, because he spoke by his spirit. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus quickly said, "Kai." This answer that you gave did not come from the hall of intelligence. This answer that you gave is not a product of human reasoning. You have entered into another dimension. It is by the agency of spiritual possibilities that these answers could emanate from you. This is not a product of human reasoning. You have spoken by the voice of an immortal. This utterance that came from you is not the utterance of a mortal entity. You have spoken. Something happened. And Jesus began to show us the dynamics of that utterance. Why that utterance was a possibility. He said, "My Father, which is in heaven, have revealed this to you." That means revelation is sourced from the Father. Jesus opened our eyes to understand that everything that has its foundation in eternity proceeds from the Father. He said, "This was revealed to you by my Father, which is in heaven." You didn't speak from any other source. You spoke only from the source of all things. So the Father, according to Jesus, is the source of all things. And Jesus began to show his own impute. He now began to educate the man. Because that you say you are the Christ does not mean you know it. You only quoted a phrase. He now began to tell him the meaning of that revelation. You know, you can come and say, you even see healing. You talk about healing. But it doesn't mean you know it. Until the Son adds his own impute. The impute of the Father is that he provides the reality. But it is the Son that will substantiate the reality. So Jesus began to explain to him the meaning of what he received from the Father. Because he said, "Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God." He didn't know what it meant. And Jesus said, "This thing you have said has an implication." That's where the impute of the Son comes. "This thing you have said has an implication. The implication of this thing you have said is that the church have appeared in the world. This your revelation is a spiritual strategy. Every time a reality will be built on earth that we have an eternal scope, it must first of all come from the realm of the spirit. And it is this type of strategy that will become the basis for the church to be built." So Jesus revealed that that statement he made is the foundation of the church. Peter didn't know he was talking about the church. He just felt he was defining a personality. Meanwhile, the implication was deeper. Jesus was revealing to Peter that what you are saying is what the church will be built. "Why I came to this world is to establish a church so that my body can be operational in the earth realm. But it's the architectural intelligence that will create my body on the earth is this revelation that you brought. The church is what you have built now." So the statement Peter made was the building block of the church. He didn't know what that meant until the Son gave him insight. You know, God can tell you are a prophet. And because God says you are a prophet, everything that will make you a prophet has already been downloaded. But you will not walk in it until the word of the Lord instructs you. The word of the Lord will tell you, "This is how you do it. This is what you do. Wake up in the night and pray. Every Friday fast. Pray for 5 hours so that your spirit will be strong. Don't go to talk to this person." The word of God will give you a lot of instruction so that you can come to a place where the possibility of the prophetic can flow out of you. The Father provides the resource. The Son substantiates the resource. Most of us receive revelation, but we don't go to the Son to substantiate it. So we run around on the street and say, "An angel appeared to me and say I am an apostle." There is a complex system of information trafficking in the spirit. If you only receive from the Father, you can never enter into manifestation. Because that Peter said you are the Christ does not mean the church has appeared. The church didn't appear because Peter caught the revelation. That's why everything God has told you will not appear just because you caught the revelation. The Son must have his own impute. The impute of the Son is what creates that possibility. And then the Holy Ghost comes in. It is the impute of the Holy Ghost that brings the manifestation. Hope you know, even with the whole explanation of Jesus and then his death on the cross did not translate to anything. The day the church was born was the day the Holy Ghost showed up. This is how it works. The Father can come and tell you, I use this example all the time, and tell you the symptom of malaria. Maybe you are a healing evangelist, and then the Father comes and says, the symptom of malaria is weakness of the body, is high fever, his sore throat, and then say, oh, 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 oh. So you go and say, this is malaria. When somebody has malaria, there's high fever, there's sore throat, there's weakness of the body. You who is saying it, hope you know you don't know what malaria is. You're only talking about it. Then the son will come and tell you, if a man has malaria, he will not just have all the symptoms. He will actually be immobilized. And then he will tell you, for you to have malaria, you must first of all contact. What's the name of the fluid from the mosquito now? Those of you who are doctors. Plasmodium. Plasmodium falciparum. He said it must enter into your body. And when it enters into your body, it will contaminate your blood. And then you have malaria. Ah, you have gotten a deeper insight. But when the Holy Ghost shows up and the Holy Ghost wants to teach you about malaria, the Holy Ghost will inject you with plasmodium falciparum. So you will not talk about sore throat. You will have sore throat. You will not talk about weakness. You will become weak. You will not talk about high fever. You will have high fever. That's the difference. The Father provides the reality. The Son substantiates it. But the Holy Ghost brings the experience. The Holy Ghost brings the experience. Before you can move in the prophetic, you may know about the prophetic. You may know you are a prophet. You may even receive the instruction of fasting and prayer. But before you flow in the word of knowledge, the Holy Ghost must whisper. The Holy Ghost must talk. The Holy Ghost is the one that brings the experience. So you must relate with the Holy Spirit every day of your life. That is why I told you that life is a function of progressive yielding to the instructions of the Holy Ghost. If you don't yield to the Holy Ghost, there is no hope for living. You may have a high calling with God. You may have a high destiny with God. But walking in it is a function of your yieldedness to the progressive instructions of the Holy Spirit. It's a system in the spirit realm. The system of information traffic. Before we come for meeting, sometimes we pray for hours. We are not praying for hours so that God can do something. He did everything in Christ Jesus. We are praying for hours so that we will be able to conduct the possibilities of those things that He has already created in Jesus. Before the healing service in the evening, we will go and lie on the floor and pray. We will roll on the floor and cry. You won't see that one. That one is the dirty job. But the reason we are doing it is so that our soul can ascend. Because the things of God, they operate at different energy levels. And if your soul does not ascend, even though it's available, you cannot have it. It's locked up in your spirit, or it's at an energy level. And your soul must ascend to touch that energy level. For those of you that understand a little bit of chemistry, you will know that electrons operate at different orbitals, and different orbitals are different energy levels. When you absorb energy, when an electron absorbs energy, it excites to a higher energy level. When you go to pray, what you are doing is that you are receiving a higher supply of the spirit so that your soul can ascend and make contact with reality. It's a system of information traffic. Most of you pray for healing, you are crying, Lord, heal me. You are already healed in Christ. But how to download it into your body? Your body is the one that needs the healing, but the healing must be downloaded. Hope you know you can have a phone and then you log on to YouTube and you are watching what is happening on YouTube. Before you have it in your phone so that you can watch it, you must have to download it. You have to download the healing into your body. The healing power of God is already available, but we have to download it in the evening. If we don't download it, the people that have the challenge cannot be healed. That's why we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, because He is the substance of the experience of God. You may know all the doctrine, but you will not have the experience unless you know the Holy Ghost as a person. I did a teaching the other time. You know, hey. See, let me tell you something. We have made Christianity a religion. That's why most of you struggle with rules. My brother, this is not about rules. This is about life. Which rule did you obey to wake up in the morning? The protocol of life was at work in you. So when you slept and it was morning, you woke up. It's a system in the spirit. But many don't know it. When we say cooperate with the Holy Ghost, we are actually telling you to live. Because you don't live unless you cooperate with the Holy Spirit.
And then how do you participate? Your body is a complex being. You are a very complex being. Hey, you don't know who you are. You are a very complex being. Everything God wants you to have, you already have when you receive Jesus Christ. The Bible said He has given us everything that pertaineth to life and godliness. Everything, and it's not an exaggeration, everything. But it is through the epignosis, it is through the experiential working of those things that you can walk in the reality of those things that you already have. You want healing, it's already there, but it's not a mental thing. You want power, it's already there, it's not a mental thing. Your system is complex. There is something you must do to your system for it to flow. Because what you have in your spirit, you will not experience it. Hope you know I told you yesterday that God created the spirit, He formed the body, but He didn't do anything about the soul. The soul became. I told you that yesterday. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, He said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness." And He said, "In the likeness of Him, He made man. Male and female, He made them." Right? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, He said, "And God formed the man out of the dust of the ground." The word used in Genesis 1:26 is the word bara. It means to create out of nothing. That means the man came from within God, and God is not a substance of matter. The word used in Genesis 2:7 is the word asar. That means to create out of existing material. Your body came from the dust. It came out of existing material. Your spirit came from God. It doesn't exist in this world. And when the body and the spirit came together, the Bible says man became a living soul. What it means is that information can traffic from your spirit into your soul and manifest, because the soul is the region of manifestation. Information can travel from your body into the soul and manifest. When we break you, where you respond is in your soul. When you receive a revelation from heaven, where it manifests is in your soul. What you are giving as word of knowledge and you are speaking in articulate English did not come to you in English. It came in spirit language. But it's in your soul that it was given expression. Hope you know when Paul was on his way to Damascus and Jesus spoke from heaven. The people that traveled with Paul, they saw light and they heard a sound. But what Paul was hearing was interpreted to him in his soul. The other people did not have interpretation. So they heard a sound. But Paul was hearing, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And Saul was talking to what other people were calling sound. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." He said, "It is hard to kick against the priest." All this intelligent language was going on, but people were hearing sound because their soul was not granted the permission for interpretation. Jesus stood and he said, "Now," a voice spoke from heaven. And some people say, "Ah, a thunderet. Who told you it's thunder?" The other one said, "An angel spoke to him." And Jesus said, "This word came for you, but unfortunately the people could not interpret. But for me, this is what it means. Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of the cosmos cast out. And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." That was where Jesus received the strategy for his purpose. The strategy of fulfilling the mandate of the Father was to die on the cross. That was the day Jesus received it. But people said what? He thundered. So much can be happening in the spirit, but because you have not trained your soul to be able to interpret, you will be lost. Even the day somebody may be sick, the day the healing power came, he did not understand what was happening. So he just allowed the power to dissipate. And then he continues in his sickness. The power came, but he could not download it. But the Bible says, "Strong meat, it belonged to them who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern." To discern. The key word is to discern. But for you to discern, you must first of all exercise your senses. Let me tell you. Let me show you how your body is built. Let me show you the anatomy and the physiology of human makeup. Because you may not understand. You think these things are coincidences. There is nothing that is a coincidence. Your spirit is made up of your conscience. It's made up of your communion. And it's made up of your intuition. If
you read Hebrews chapter 10 verse 22, the Bible said by the blood he will purge our heart from an evil conscience. Your spirit is made up of your conscience. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14, Paul said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Spirit be with you. Where do you receive the communion of the Spirit? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17, him that is joined with the Lord is one spirit. And it's in your intuition that you receive spiritual signals. Your spirit is made up of your conscience, your communion, and your intuition. Your conscience is what keeps your spirit man upright before God. That's why the Bible said, even your faith will be wrecked if your conscience is defiled. He said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have shipwrecked their faith. That means if your conscience is maligned, your faith is useless, because your conscience is what gives you an upright posture before God. It's a functional, operational part of your spirit. The communion is what causes you to have intimacy with the Holy Ghost, and the intuition is what makes you to receive and to understand spiritual realities. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotion. It is in your mind that your memory, your reasoning, and your intellect is housed. That's why every processing you do, you process in your mind. It's in your emotion that you feel the flavors of life. Everything that your mind interprets, the flavor of it is your emotion that hosts it. So I can say to you, see your head, and then you smile because you thought I was admiring your hair. You have a clean cut. And then I can say, see your head, and then you know that I've insulted you, and then you feel bad. So it's the same sentence, different interpretation, different emotional response. Your emotion is a function of the processing of your mind. So it's not necessarily about what you hear. It's about the interpretation of what you hear. That's how information are trafficked. Same utterance, different interpretation, different emotional response. And then your will is the region of action. It's your will that causes your actions and your inactions. See your head. Even though you feel bad, you may say, if I talk back, it will not be good, since he's a pastor and he's preaching. But if we are outside and I say, see your head, you'll say, are you alright? So you took an action based on your judgment. Your soul is made up of your mind, your emotion, and your will. And then your body, you have 5 senses in your body, biologically. But these 5 senses are actually modified. You know, the sense of sight, the sense of hearing, the sense of smelling, the sense of touch, and the sense of taste. When was the last time you did something because of taste? When you dress well and you want everybody to see you, is it because of hearing? Or when you came, that day you came with your father's jeep and you wanted to park in the field where the whole students are doing sport, and then you drove and screeched just to cause attention, is it because of smell? There is something the fall did to our senses. It remodified our senses, and our senses became a faculty of lust. So most of the things we do in the flesh are motivated by lust. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It is the lust of the eyes that controls every action you take based on human intelligence. You do that in order to satisfy some form of gratification that is a product of the fallen man. It is the lust of the flesh
that motivates everything we do for our appetite and satisfaction. The reason the young lady will go and have sex because she needs money is because she wants to put on a Brazilian hair so that everybody in the class will know that she's the happening girl. She wants to buy the latest iPhone, not because she loves the iPhone, because when she's at home in the hostel, she throws the iPhone somewhere. But when she's coming to the class, she needs to hold the iPhone because there is a lust in her that needs to be satisfied. So she didn't sleep with a man because she loves sex. She didn't sleep with a man because she has no self-control. She slept with that man because there is a pride of life controlling her. When she gets home, she doesn't even know where the iPhone is. But if she wants to go out, she must hold the iPhone in her hands, because everybody has got to see her that she's the one with the latest iPhone 9. Your body is made up of three senses: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. This is how these four, this is how these three sets of senses operate. For you to receive, remember, your soul is the region of what? Manifestation, right? That's why we are called persons. Do you know why we are called persons? Because we are personalities. Personality simply means your faculty that gives expression to your essence. When we say this is your personality, we are actually talking about the manifestation of who you are. Your real essence, its form of manifestation, is what we call your personality. And that is a cardinal operational part of your body called your soul. So everything that is happening in your spirit, we will not know it until we see it happen or manifest by the operation of your soul. Remember, Mary had an encounter with God, and she went to Elizabeth, her cousin. And when she came to Elizabeth, and after the salutation, she made a statement. She said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in the God of my salvation." Do you know what happened there? What Mary was saying, "My soul doth" is present tense. "My spirit hath" is past tense. So what Mary was saying is that my spirit rejoiced in the Lord long before now, but I didn't know what it means. It is now that I understand what the rejoicing is. The rejoicing that my spirit was having in the Lord, now the interpretation is my soul, is that my soul is magnifying the Lord. So when something happens in the spirit, it is trafficked through your soul and it is manifested. When you have an encounter with God, it is manifested through your soul. And this is the channel of manifestation. The intuition is the intelligent part of your spirit. If your intuition picks something from the realm of God, the only way your soul can catch it is through your mind. So those informations are interpreted to your mind. So your mind is the connection to your intuition. What your spirit receives from God, the knowledge your spirit receives from God, is your mind that processes it. What you call word of knowledge, you call the name John. That name is not called like that in the spirit. You remember Jesus said, "I will give you a new name that no man know it." There's a spiritual name. Oh, you understand computer sciences? You know binary numbers. When you write Peter on the computer, what is actually written in the computer is 0011, 021. They are in zeros and in ones. But when you write Peter, you think it's Peter. The computer is interpreting 00101 00111. That's what Peter is in the computer language, but it had to be decoded for you. So when your spirit picks something in your intuition, your mind interprets it and it calls it, "The Lord loves me. The Lord told me to go to Lagos and start an apostolic work. The Lord has told me to start a business of pure water." Jesus did not mention pure water. Jesus spoke in spirit language, but your mind interpreted pure water. So the reason you came to Igbenedion University and you started a fellowship is not because Jesus said Igbenedion. It's not because Jesus said fellowship. Jesus may have spoken, but you heard Igbenedion. You heard fellowship. You heard JCCF. It was not pronounced in heaven as JCCF. It was Lirombres Kafiri Araidaha Baragira Andersiga Sabdoa Elabandre Silora Hestis Ash. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. You are seated on the throne. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. You are seated on the throne. Do you know why we worship Him all the time? Because we have judged. We looked at ourselves and we judged and we discovered there is nothing in us that has value. The only thing that has value is Christ in me, the hope of glory. I checked, I checked, I checked, I thought I was intelligent. In my university days, I was a scholar. I was a university scholar. But when I stepped out, I realized my certificate counted for nothing. My certificate, if my BSc does not count for anything. My master's count for nothing. Even the PhD I'm doing now counts for nothing. Because there is no chemistry in apostolic writing. I am an apostle of Jesus. And chemistry does not have a part to play in apostolic. I checked myself. Everything that I call a natural advantage, when I looked at the handwriting of my destiny, it did not add an impute. Because when my destiny was written by the finger of fire in the archives of heaven, there was nothing written about my natural ability. God was speaking. And he said, Michael, on earth you will depend on me to speak. You will depend on me to think. You will depend on me to walk. Because it is in me that you live. It is in me that you have your being. You have no value without me. That is why every morning I rise up, I say glory to the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. Even the ones that live in the heights of the heaven. The Bible said the 24 elders, they fell from their throne. They casted their crown and they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The four beasts that stand before him, he said, day and night without ceasing, they cry, holy, holy, holy. Because when we checked, the last time we checked, creation has no value apart from God. There's no value in creation apart from God. You pride yourself in your looks. Someday, your beautiful face will be buried in the grave. You pride yourself in your intelligence. The day your life is threatened, you understand that your reasoning powers does not have the ability to save your life. Man does not live by breath. We are not moved by the things that happen because it's not given to man that walketh to water his steps. Everything about us was encoded in the very heights of Zion. There is an archive in heaven where your destiny was written. You are not called to be creative. You are called to be obedient. Your life is the story that God is telling from heaven. Every step you take is a statement on the tongue of the immortal one. Jesus never stepped out until the Spirit spoke because he knew how these things work. Most of us take steps every morning because we think we are intelligent. You are creating a set of contradictions that will affect you in the days to come. That club you went to yesterday, that is what will result in a pregnancy. That is what will result in an abortion. And you didn't know the devil was setting you up never to have a successful marriage. When they were removing your womb, you never knew it would end like that. You thought it was a one-night stand where you would get the money to make your hair. You never knew your womb was being bargained. When Satan operates in your direction, he is considering your future. You are the one killing your future and sacrificing it on the altar of temporary pleasure. You ancient Zion's king, Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty. You reign. You ancient Zion's king. Kadosh. Kadosh. You are mighty. You reign. You ancient Zion's king. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty. You reign, you reign, you reign. Oh, worshiping God much more than preaching. You see, when I'm preaching, you are being blessed. Yeah, sometimes I feel the anointing, I enjoy it. But when I worship God, my essence, everything pours out like a river. I feel God, I feel God. It's like the river that maketh glad the city of God. If we had our way, when I come for service, we'll worship God for 1 hour and preach for 15 minutes and move in power for 15 minutes. I love worshiping God. Can you look to heaven now and give thanks? Maybe you have judged your mind and you see it's futile. You have seen that your body can take you nowhere. You have seen that your father is the governor, but your destiny has nothing to do with him. Hey!
kadosh, kadosh. You are mighty. You are mighty.
Sit down. Let's check. This thing is called life. It's not called rules. If you understand the dynamics of life, you will walk through the rules effortlessly. The reason we are giving rules is because it is a reflection and a revelation of the culture of heaven. What you are obeying here as laws is the culture of heaven. The way you sleep and wake up, that's how righteous living in heaven is, a natural thing. But you don't know it, so they are given to you as a set of rules. When you allow life to begin to flow through you, those things will no longer be a rule. It will be a culture of life. That's why the Bible said, against law, there is no law. But this is how you make life to work. The Holy Ghost is the bandwidth of life. The bandwidth of life. The data of life is transmitted in the Holy Spirit. How does your will work? Your will. It works by a good conscience. Did you notice the last time you did something and then you were restless? You were troubled. You lied to the person. Or you hurt the person. And your conscience will not let you rest. He said, go and apologize. Go and apologize. You want to be healthy in the spirit? You must apologize. Because if you don't, what you are doing is that you are searing your conscience with a hot iron. When your conscience dies, your life has ended. Because nothing you do will be recorded in heaven anymore. Because in heaven, the only things that will pass through the gate of eternity is the things you do by faith. And the Bible said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have shipwrecked their faith. So when your conscience dies, your faith is shipwrecked. What you are doing may be passion and zeal, it's not faith. And it will not appear in the regions of Zion. I spoke to you about spiritual raiders yesterday. You may be doing so much on earth, but in heaven they are not seeing it. They are not seeing it. They'll be wondering what's happening. They can't feel you. This thing I'm speaking, if you look at the amplifier, signals are moving. Signals. When your heart is beating, signals are moving on the machine. When the signals stop moving, even if you are alive, the doctor will say you are dead. Because there's no pulse anymore. When your conscience dies, your faith has no pulse in heaven. So you may be doing things and think you are pleasing God. They are not seeing the pulse in heaven. Hope you know if you lie down when you are in coma, the reason they still say you are alive is not because... If you see somebody who is in coma, you can say he's dead. But the doctor says he's alive. Why? Because there is pulse. Sometimes they can't even feel the pulse at the wrist. But the machine is reading the pulse. They will wait. But the day the pulse stops, even if you cough, oh, they will say, bury him, he's dead. When your conscience is shipwrecked, you cannot appear in the radars of heaven. Your conscience is the regulator of your action. The strength of your will is predicated on a good conscience. So you cannot download the dimension of righteousness unless your will is perfectly aligned with your conscience. Righteousness is a function of the alignment of the will with the conscience. The moment the conscience is compromised, there's no righteousness. The moment your will is disaligned, there's no righteousness. Your conscience is the dimension of you that the Holy Ghost traffics the righteousness of God through. And that is why your conscience regulates your action. It is the system of information trafficking in the spirit. How does your emotion work? Do you know you need to purge your emotions? You don't know. Do you know why sometimes we just stay in the presence of God? We just stay there. We just stay there. Because some of us, our emotions have been infected with viruses. I was telling you about the background technology yesterday. How that you cannot see me on the altar unless you see the background. Some of the things you have done before, the experience of sin you've had, they have injected virus in your emotion. If you want your emotion to be purged, you need to stay in the presence of God for a long time. Do you know why most times when the power of God is moving, people are overwhelmed? People are overwhelmed because their emotions, the Holy Ghost comes strong on their emotions and they can't bear it. Their brain can no longer interpret what's happening. So they just collapse. That's the system of God to reconfigure their emotions. Sometimes you came with lust and then people fall down and they rise up and lust has gone. They don't know when it stopped, but they just discovered lust is no longer there. The guy who every day has strange appetites, he wants to drink star or more lagapia. He came for a meeting. They didn't talk about more. They didn't talk about drunkenness. But the power of God came on him. He collapsed. He woke up. And then he didn't have appetite for more anymore. What's happened? Me, personally, I was a football fan, a crazy fan. Where we were crazy fans. If you call us now, you have touched my sensitive part. We were not winning trophies, but you can't win us in an argument. Hey, this tongue has served many functions before it started serving Jesus. We argue for 3 hours. You can't. Even when I was writing my WAEC, I had chemistry the next day, and they were playing Champions League finals. That was in 2006. Arsenal versus Barcelona. We were there. Man, we were slaves. And suddenly I went for a meeting. And Apostle Arame was preaching. The English was so complex. But I was just understanding, enjoying the intensity of God. Because when you hear him, something is happening to your heart. You may not understand, but your heart is heavy. Your heart, the man deposits God in your heart. He puts God inside your heart. The particles of God are deposited. And the power of God moves so strongly. And I was overwhelmed. When I went to the house, the next day there was match. With ginger, we went. I sat in the studio, I was sleeping throughout. What's happening? The desire was dying. I will be looking like this and be dozing. Me? And in this studio, people are shouting from the beginning to the end. How was I able to sleep there? Something had died. I have lost my place in the world. You know, there is a level you walk with God that even if you go back to the beer parlor, you have lost your place. You don't have a place there anymore. The Bible said concerning Lucifer, he said there is no place found. You go back to where your guys, you don't have a place. They are drinking beer, you sat with them, you put a bottle of beer, but you don't have a place. They will not even notice you are there. You have lost your place. I was sleeping in the studio. And then the next time they had match, I said I'm tired. And I didn't watch match again till today. The team died. You know what happened? The Holy Ghost walked on my appetites. He walked on my emotions. You know why we don't fight against flaming anointing? People make a religion out of it now. So most times, when I come for meeting, I say, you mustn't fall down. You mustn't, but you can't stop it. It's an operation of the Holy Spirit. From the first day, even before I started ministry, people were falling down. It's the operation of the Holy Ghost. You don't know what the Lord is doing with them. But most of the times, if God wants to deal with your emotions, he overwhelms you. He overwhelms you so that he can have all your attention. That was what he did to Adam to remove the reed. God wanted to form Eve out of Adam, but the distraction would not let God rest. God is trying to say, come, let me remove your reed. He said, this is lion. I want the lion to have authority over all the animals. He said, if you go under the ocean, there is a fish there called shark. God is not talking about shark. They want to create Eve now. Adam is still calling animals. So God had to touch him. And he was overwhelmed. When he lay down there, God removed his rib and formed him. The purpose and the destiny that God has planted in you, sometimes if he wants to bring it out of you, he has to slay you. Because you know so much, you know so much. God is saying, give all the money you have in your pocket. And then you are telling God, there's a widow close to my house. The husband is dead. She has 4 children. Instead of giving this money, I need to give her part of this money to pay school fees. If that boy's school fees is paid, he will become a reasonable. God said, give all the money. That one is not your part, it's his part. But most times, because our mind do not allow God to praise, what happened? We are slain. He came for the service, he's watching. Let me see what this man of God has. What can he do? Let's see. While you are saying, what can he do? Then something knocks you, you go down. Because you are trying to rob yourself of your blessing. That's how God deals with the emotion. He purges your emotion. The psalmist said, and the Lord restored my soul. It's a system of information trafficking. The bandwidth of life flowing through the Holy Ghost can only get through you when the chambers of your soul are connected to your spirit. Your mind connects your intuition. Your will connects your conscience. And your emotion connects the communion of the spirit. The unfortunate thing is that that's not the only direction that information travels. This is where the demonic realm comes in. And if I explain the demonic, I will tell you why we always talk about the sacrifice of alignment. Because when we talk about the sacrifice of alignment, we are not saying pay the price for anything. Jesus paid the price for everything. We are only saying pay the price for the experience of the things Jesus has paid for. We are only saying pay the price to get your soul consistently aligned with your spirit, because your soul can also align with your body. Alignment is the connectivity of the soul to the spirit against the body. It's the price you pay. There are other means of traffic. You know, the Bible said something. Are you learning something this morning? Let me read the scripture for you. 1 Corinthians 2. Listen. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. He said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. There are two things you need to get from this scripture before we proceed. First, there are two spirits that you can receive. You can receive the Holy Ghost, and you can also receive the spirit of the world. And it says something. It said that we might. That's a contrasting phrase. If the Holy Spirit reveals to you the things of God, that means the spirit of the world forbids you from knowing the things of God. The Holy Ghost causes you to traffic in the Godward direction. The spirit of the world causes you to traffic against the Godward direction. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3 and see what the Bible says. He said, but if our gospel be hid. Are you seeing what I'm telling you? So the spirit of the world can rob you of the knowledge of God. The same way the Holy Ghost can make available to you the knowledge of God. He said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded their hearts, have blinded their minds, of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, will shine. So the spirit of the world causes you to travel in another side of knowledge. The knowledge that is not the knowledge of God. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 14, the Bible says, love not the world. He said, they that love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. He said, what is in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That means the direction you follow by the spirit of this world that makes you not to receive the knowledge of God is the direction of lust. When we talk about the eyes, we talk about intelligence. So the lust of the eyes connects to your mind. The things you see, the things you perceive from the world, they are the intelligence system that will corrupt the operational dimension of your mind. That is why they tell you that every pastor wants to collect money from people. That's the ideology of the world. So when you want to give, the Holy Ghost says give, and then your faith moves, you want to give. And you now hear that, guy, this pastor, they say that they collect money, and then you check, and you carry the smallest amount, What is happening? Another kind of intelligence making you to become rebellious to the Holy Spirit. Have you not known why most of you are afraid of the dark? Have you ever seen a spirit before? But they told you that evil spirits are in the dark. So every time you are in the dark, come, let's go outside. The intelligence of the world. They tell you, if you are not fair, you will not be attractive. So 70% of the ladies, they are combining 7 creams to look fair. Meanwhile, it is not beauty that makes you marry. It is favor. So instead of traveling in the direction of favor, they are traveling in beauty. So they rub all the foundations and the mascara. When they are 33 years old, then they come to the altar and lay down. All I am is yours. All I am. No. All you are is for foundation. Now foundation have failed. They thought when they were growing up, they are 7 friends. Every time they are going anywhere, they are in the middle because they are the boss queen. Now all the ugly girls have married. The next time they had meeting, they came with 3 of their children. So it becomes a shame. The boss queen now becomes the heat queen. The lust of the eyes. They do all kinds of things to receive the approval of people. The lust of the eyes. Those things corrupt your soul. Because they bring new ideologies to your mind. And your soul have no opinion. Your soul is only a processor. You see, your laptop can be processing information. If you put a virus there, your laptop will process the virus. Because your laptop is what? A processor. That's how the soul works. Your mind is a processor. You are here now, you are a prayer warrior. You think, sin can't have dominion over me. The reason sin can't have dominion over you is because you are constantly beholding the Lord. If you begin to behold pornography, in the next 2 months, you will be in the dark, walking towards the girls' campus. The soul is a processor. And that's still why we talk about the sacrifice of alignment. I'm not talking about righteousness because I cannot be thrown down. I'm talking righteousness because I know in this life I'm sentenced to God only. So I can't fall, not because I'm strong, but because God in me is strong. If you begin to behold another, you become. It's a law of the spirit. What you see, you become. You know, God said to Moses, he said, no man will look at me and live. Moses thought it was death. It's not death. If you see God, you become like him. It was John that revealed it. He said, as we behold him, we are changed. In 1 John chapter 3 verse 1, he said, what manner of love have the Father bestowed upon us, that we should become the Son of God? He said, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as it is, as he is. If you see the devil, you become like the devil. Constantly behold the things of the devil, you become the devil. And if you constantly behold God, you become God. Because we all, with unveiled faces, beholding us in a glass, the image of the Lord, we are changed. The devil corrupts the vistas of your physical sight so that you can see things and interpret them through the lust of the eyes. And that's why most of us, our souls are corrupt. People come to me, they say, they can't live a holy life. Nobody can. The reason we are living holy lives is because we can behold God. So the question is not trying to be holy. The question is keeping your focus on God, and holiness become a natural byproduct. You are on Facebook every day looking at all the ladies that post naked pictures, and you want to live a holy life. How? They say, club, there's a party today. You say, well, me, I don't go to party. But you sit in front of your hostel, and all the ladies going on bum shot, you are looking at them. I don't go to party. You are the most deceived man in the century. We all, with unveiled faces, what you see, you become. It's the intelligence of information traffic. The lust of the flesh. What you touch controls you. What you see, you help the sister, please. I want to keep it calm. What you see, you become. What you touch controls you. The lust of the flesh. That's why the devil is pushing you. If you know the number of demons that are whispering to you, you think you are the one thinking. Hey, He said, call her now, call her, call her. Yes, now, she is expecting your call. Don't you know she wants to hear your voice? Then it would remind you, see that time you saw her in the afternoon, see the way she smiled. You are not thinking, no. If the spirit realm opens, you will see four demons whispering, call her, call her, call her. You don't know how demons work. The Bible said the devil roams like a roaring lion. These guys are on assignment on your life. You don't know the demons that are on your matter. Call her, you think you are thinking. Who told you? When you have exam to write, you are not thinking exam. You are thinking when the lady smiled last 2 weeks. And you think you are that intelligent. If you are that intelligent, why don't you understand and remember what the lecturer says? One sentence in class you can't remember in the exam. And then the lady that smiled at you 3 weeks ago, among 10 ladies, you can remember. Who told you are that intelligent? The spirit realm. They call her. Call her. She's smiling. She's waiting for your call. Even yesterday, you think she was not telling her friends. That time she was smiling. She was telling her friends about you. See the way your shoe was shining. You are a foolish one. Aka, aka, ya. Aka, Jehovah, leve, ma. Orebu, beya. Enagi, adi, leve, ma. Easy can do. Aka akaya, aka Jehovah name ma. Aka akaya, aka akaya, aka Jehovah name ma. Oh, Abu Ba. The lust of the flesh is a strategy of enslaving you forever. When you become a slave of your senses, you are perpetually gone. God knows. That's why he said we live by faith, not by sight. The word sight is sensory perception. Your feelings are a lie. Did you not notice that the things you thought you liked 3 weeks ago, now you can't even look at them? When I used to be small, I don't like onions. If you give me food, I'll pack all the onions and throw away. Now I'm a king of onions. Because your feelings is a lie. You can't live life by feelings. Don't be deceived, brother. Demons are intelligent. They know how you were designed. They know how you were fabricated. The Bible spoke about the principalities. The word principality means first among the ranks. He said they were there when the foundations of the world were sculpted. He said they sank into the fabric of creation. When God was designing you, the angels were already made, and most of them fell. They know how you were designed. They know your dimensions. The devil will not tempt me and you to say, because by instrument of familiar spirit, they have a data bank of information. The devil knows the temptation that brought your great grandfather down. He knows the one that brought your grandfather down. He knows the one that brought your father down. And he knows that on the strength of DNA encoding, 90%, that same temptation will bring you down. Yours may be lust, mine may be pride. Demons are on assignment, and it's by the systems of the lust of the flesh. That was why Abraham loved fair women. Isaac loved fair women. Jacob loved fair women. It's a transference of DNA encoding. The lust of the flesh. If you become a man of feelings, you are a slave forever. You walk by faith. It was said in the Old Testament. It was said before Jesus, and it was said after Jesus. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. Romans 1:17. Galatians 3:6-13. And Hebrews 13 verse 11. He said, the just shall live by faith, not by feeling. Your feeling is a lie. The lady you looked at, and today you saw her waist, you saw her hip, you saw her leg, and you think you are going crazy. Check after 2 years. Your feelings have graduated. Don't live by feelings. Live by faith, brother. It's called the systems of information trafficking. The lust of the flesh. And then you have what we call the pride of life.